Before we get started, guys, little spoiler warning. This episode is highly spoilerific, full of Wolverine spoilers. So if you haven't seen The Wolverine yet, you might want to revisit this podcast after you do. Hello and welcome to the Answer of the Week podcast brought to you by the Two-Headed Nerd. That's Joe Patrick and myself, Matt Baum. If you've never heard this before, it's probably because it was web exclusive. Guess what?
That's right.
We're going straight up into your RSS feed now, folks.
So you asked, we listened, and so we gave up on our failed experiment to make people go to the website for the Answer of the Week.
So each week on the show, as you've heard, we ask a question of the week. It gets posted on our Twitter and our Facebook, and then you guys call, email, write, smoke signal, fax, whatever.
Tweeter.
And hit us with your answers. But before we can move on with the show, Joe Patrick, we need to know, what the heck did we ask these guys this week?
Simple stuff, man. Week's question was, what did you think of The Wolverine, the movie? The Wolverine, the movie.
The Wolverine, the movie.
Based on a true story.
Where are we starting, with the Twitters or the Facebooks?
As is our tradition, we start with the Tweeters.
We love the Tweeters. Hit us.
Assuming there are Tweeters. Our first coming from our new arch nemesis, Dr. Carlos Danger.
Man, he's some kind of some bitch, ain't he?
He is some kind of some bitch. Carlos writes, Wolverine was flawed, cheesy, and insulting to all audiences. Wait, that's THN, not Wolverine.
Oh!
Hey-o! Whatever.
Some bitch. We're going to find that guy.
That's right.
We're going to get him.
That's right.
I love it. We have a Twitter nemesis.
I know.
I love it.
And our only other Twitter response came from Matt's wife, Casey Baum.
Oh, boy.
Who wrote an epic Girl Meets Nerd examination of Wolverine in all of his incarnations. You can find it right now on twoheadednerd.com.
I even tried to get her to watch some of the cartoons. She refused to do it.
She said, I thought, wow, Hugh Jackman's arm veins are probably lusted over by heroin addicts for the entire 2 hours.
He was a veiny dude. I'll give her that.
He was busting out of them
veins.
That's
what she took away. He had big veins.
Yep.
All right. Fair enough.
And that's it for Twitter.
She's a special girl. That's why I love her. Oh, remember, if you are going to tweet at us, hit us with the hashtag THNAOW. That's Two-Headed Nerd Answer of Week.
Fewer characters that way.
Yeah. Like, if imagine Super Baby was writing about it. That's how he would call it.
Answer of Week.
Me call with Answer of Week. Me, Super Baby. Me, tasty treat, fit for king. Remember that? He's coming out of Thanksgiving turkey and everybody's like shocked. Super baby, no. It's hot stuff. The golden age. It couldn't help it.
All right. Facebook, it is. Sorry, it just takes me a moment to get through all the complainers. I'm sorry you guys didn't get to see the Wolverine.
Oh. Well,
we appreciate.
Is that what they're posting?
I haven't seen it yet.
We appreciate your willingness to answer the question of the week.
How about this? If you don't post, we'll just assume you didn't see it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Stephen Kohler, you live in Japan? What?
What?
Mark Decker writes, I thought it was decent. There were some major plot holes when it comes to the motivations of certain characters' actions, some apparent inconsistencies about the properties of adamantium, and overall, I think My Dinner with Andre has more action scenes than this film. But all in all, it was a pleasant $5 worth for me and my whole family.
$5?
I don't know how much of that is real or how much of it is a joke.
Yeah, man.
Mark has written in a number of times, and I think 99.9% of them are just messing with me.
It's true. But Mark's a sweet guy, and he does listen to the show.
That's right.
He's a good buddy of David DeMarcos.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Occasional guest host.
We like him. He's our buddy, too. We like him.
That's right. John Luttrell from Burnt Wieners writes in, I'm beginning to think nobody actually saw this movie except for me and you. He says, my favorite scene was when Wolverine ends up getting Jean's phone number after publicly humiliating Cyclops about the market economy of the southern colonies before the Revolutionary War. And then he walks over to a window where Cyclops is sitting in front of and eating, and Wolverine knocks on the glass and says, hey, you like apples? And then slams the number on the glass saying, I got a number. How do you like them apples? Jamie Hancock writes, I think I managed to leave a Skype message, but just in case, here's my answer.
Yeah, he called a bunch of times and it didn't come through. Jamie, I'm sorry, man.
I'm sorry, too.
And we're online right now. Well, and you can't hear this, so no. I don't know why I'm throwing this out in the ether.
Hey, Jamie!
Jamie!
Are you out there? Next time we record the answer of the week, it's usually Tuesdays at around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock Central Time in America. Hit us up online, send us a tweet, whatever. And if you're going to be on at the same time, we will have you on the show live to answer the question of the week next week.
Unscripted.
That's right. Here is Jamie's answer. It feels more like a martial arts movie or a Hong Kong action film, and that's fine by me. It has real plot instead of a few bits of exposition between action scenes. It's got nuanced and believable female characters and great fight scenes that, while still firmly in CGI territory, were a welcome breath of fresh air from the usual superhero fights that just feel like CG animators showing off. It's a superhero film that does things differently, and I really want it to do well, because if it doesn't, then I'm worried that it'll scare the studios into making the genre even more safe and formulaic than it already is. Even if it did get a tiny bit silly at the end, I thought it was great. Big recommendation from me.
That's a good review.
A really well-thought-out answer.
Yeah, that's a really well-thought-out review.
Jamie, once again, thanks for your call. We'll be in touch.
Sorry Skype is so stupid.
We're going to make this right.
Stupid old dumb old free program.
I know. How dare their free service not work the way I need it to at all times. That is it for our written responses.
Wow. So I guess we got some calls. Let's have a look.
I think we have yet another record number of phone calls.
I think we're getting them. I love that you guys are calling us. And if you want to have your call on the air, you can hit us at 402-819-4894. And you could be internet famous just like these beautiful people you're about to hear. Before we get to this first one, you should know that there is a war being waged on our Google Voice account. This person claims to be John Luttrell from the Burt Wieners podcast. I'll let you decide if it's actually him or
not. It's suspect for sure.
Salutations, man, Joe. This is John Luttrell from the Burt Wieners podcast calling in. And when I'm not trying to work on my speech impediment or learning less about comics than you do, I'm calling in with my answer of the week. I guess this one was about the Wolverine movie. And I got to be totally honest with you, I wasn't quite impressed with Origins. I like Deadpool, but he wasn't the bee's knees like he's in the comic books. But what I did like was the fact that Wolverine had claws, and that was pretty cool. But I was upset also that LCD and the Cyber Wolverine did not make an appearance, as they did not in the Wolverine Origins movie. Now, I cried a couple times during the movie, but that was because Wolverine got hurt, and it made me sad. But I saw it in the trailer, so I should have expected a little bit more. But I didn't, and I was sad. So all in all, I would have to rate the Wolverine at a C, as in cool. Thanks for the answer, guys. I'll call back next week, and hopefully my speech impediment will be better. It works during the show, but for some reason when I make stupid phone calls, I mean great phone calls, it happens this way. All right. Later, dudes.
I don't know. That could have been John, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure.
You know,
it's hard to tell.
I couldn't understand half of what he said, but I'm pretty sure he gave a shout out to LCD
yes.
and Albert the Robot Wolverine
yes.
from the 90s.
Yes. Not heavily featured in this film.
No.
Not heavily
featured. They did not make an appearance. Here's what Google Voice thinks John said in his opening sentence. Yeah, you can choose Mansfield. This is John the Trio's Turnberry reduced podcast father.
I love it. All right, I think this is a female caller from LA.
I don't know.
Los Angeles, California. Here we go. Let's see what we got.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Princess Ashley calling. Since you guys called me out on the show, I think it's only appropriate that I actually give you a call. And I wanted to let you know my thoughts on The Wolverine. And I thought succinctly that it was the boringest, least Wolverine-iest movie that I've seen in a long time.
Huh.
Thanks.
Princess Ashley calling in.
She sounds like a princess, too.
She does. And I love that she used the adjective Wolverine-iest.
That is an interesting opinion, Ashley. I do agree that it was kind of slow in parts.
There were definitely some slow parts. We'll get to that.
But we'll get to our own opinions.
We'll get to our reviews.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah,
representing the ladies.
We love it. Thank you, Ashley. I think you are our second female caller.
That's right.
You got beat by someone else who didn't even answer the question.
Yeah. We're looking at you, Amy.
All right. This is another one. This is from New York here. We got, man.
This is my man. This is my man, New Mutant.
We are all over the map. I love it. From LA to New York.
Joe and Matt, this is New Mutant. And I want you to know that I had a great time watching The Wolverine. I like the idea that they gave good shrift to Mariko. Marico, as one might say, whose tongue is native and fluent Asian, Japanese. I like the fact that Yukio was there. I would love to see her cross over into Days of Future Past and teach Storm how to have a mohawk. That would be awesome. I want to see that very much. I want to see Halle Berry and this actress who played Yukio tripping across the rooftops of Japan and Aurora to get her mohawk on. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I like that they stretched out and gave good character time for Wolverine moving on and enjoying a new woman in his life and saying goodbye to the old woman. No, I'm sorry, Gene. I called you old. My bad. And then he takes his shirt off every once in a while, and we get to see muscle upon muscle upon muscle upon muscle. I'm not mad. Two-headed nerd. This is New Mutant signing out. Enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.
Here's why New Mutant is my favorite caller, because he thanks everybody in the middle of his calls. He's just like, thank you. I love it. Thank you for your call, New Mutant. He obviously had a good time with this one, and he's right. Hugh Jackman was so ripped that it like bothered me a little bit sometimes. Like it looked like his chest hurt. It's like I was worried about him. Like he might split.
New Mutant, you're the best.
Okay, we're going to jump over to Pittston, Pennsylvania. I don't know where Pittston is.
Neither do I.
I'm going to guess it's close to Philly. That's my guess. We'll check later.
What up, Joe and Matt? This is THN Love Slave Tony Mathers, a.k.a. The Credible Hulk.
Hooray,
THD,
Tony!
Calling about your answer of the week for my thoughts on The Wolverine. Just saw it this last weekend, and it felt like it was two different movies. I went in expecting to see one thing, especially with the trailers. I really didn't know what to expect. I was kind of, after, what, four or five previous X-Men movies, I thought I'd see about 100 different mutants and a plot that didn't really make sense. But I was surprised to see, especially with the first two acts, how concise it was and that it was a character piece. I realized halfway through the movie that I forgot this was not only Wolverine, but this was an X-Men movie with mutants. I think that was really good. They did such a good job delivering that character piece that I forgot that this was a comic book movie and more so character-driven. But the third act completely changed pace. It was like it was a completely different movie, and that was more so the movie I was expecting. But by then, I was already in the mood watching the movie that the first two acts set up. So I'm a little torn on whether or not I liked it. The only thing I absolutely didn't like was Madame Hydra, or I'm sorry, Viper. She was completely pointless, and it felt like she had to be in there to meet some sort of mutant quota. She didn't need to be there at all, or someone else could have done her part. The only question I have is, were those ninjas at the end supposed to be the Hand? And if so, why weren't they? Does Marvel own the rights of the Hand with Daredevil? I don't know. Small point. Anyways, thanks. Talk to you later.
That's a good question, and while we were watching the movie, I kept saying to myself, why don't they call these guys the Hand? Why do they keep going Yakuza? You know why they can't? Because Lionsgate has the Hand from the stupid Elektra movie. She was fighting the Hand. It was the guy that she was fighting was the leader of the Hand clan.
Right, but...
And the Hand were a bunch of shape-changing ninjas.
But that was still... Whatever company put out Daredevil.
That was Lionsgate.
And Marvel got the rights back to Daredevil.
Because Marvel Studio has it and Fox does not. We may see the Hand later on in some Marvel Studios movie that's not an X-Men film.
I suspect...
But we can't see them here because Fox doesn't own it.
But yeah, regardless of who owns the Hand, I do suspect it's that... Well, actually, in the original Wolverine Goes to Japan story, I don't think it's the Hand there either.
I don't think they named it the Hand. I think later on in the mythos, we found out that the Hand was behind what was going on.
The Hand is entirely, you know? Like, the Hand is entirely a Daredevil conceit.
They definitely were not part
of... It's not that Wolverine has not fought the Hand, but
the Hand
is a part of Daredevil mythos, not Wolverine mythos.
And we definitely know that, like, in the Chris Claremont, Frank Miller Wolverine series, that was not the Hand. It was just...
Yeah.
Rival family, ninjas, whatever. I think later on they may have added into the mythos that the Hand was involved in it or behind it or something along those lines, and he found it out years later, you know, as some surprise or whatever. But no, I'm with him. I did wonder, why aren't they calling us the Hand? Why are they calling us the
Hand? I didn't necessarily need it to be the Hand. I mean,
I thought it worked fine.
That would have been one more thing to explain, because if they called it the Hand and those ninjas didn't explode into magical dust, I would have been mad.
Right. And there's some confusion that I want to discuss when we get into our reviews about that. Because, like, I'm sort of unclear on who some people were working for and who other people were working for. But we'll get to that. Our final call comes from King of Asker Nerd, Mr. Aaron Myers.
Hello, guys. This is Aaron Myers calling in with my answer of the week regarding Wolverine and my thoughts on it. Here are my thoughts. I'm not seeing it right now, and I'm not going to see it for a while. You know why? Two words. Pacific Rim. And Joe Patrick loving it. So when I saw that he loved Wolverine, I knew that was one for the Blu-ray. That's all. I just know now these days that anything Joe loves, I should avoid. Unless it's me. You still love me, right? All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Aaron, you should know, before you make fun of Joe, he has a handicap. Okay, and he was born with it. It's a disease. It's a genetic disease that makes Joe Patrick love every movie he's ever seen.
People keep saying and that, and that's
even
not
more so
true.
For movie trailers. Like, every time there's a new G.I. Joe trailer, you can bet Joe's going to slap his face and giggle while he watches it on the computer and go, "It looks so cool. What are you talking about? How could it possibly be bad?"
That's a gross exaggeration. And guess what? I did enjoy G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Oh, God, dude. Oh, my God.
Did you even see it?
Yes, and it was terrible.
It wasn't that
terrible.
It wasn't that terrible.
I disagree on Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim was what it was, and it was supposed to be what it was, and it was cheesy. Was it like a well-written, well-acted movie? No way. Was it great? Totally.
Yes. They could have called that movie Dinosaurs Fighting Robots Fighting Godzillas, and I would have loved it twice as much.
But we're not here to talk about Pacific Rim. Thank you very much for your call, Aaron. I think you should man up and go see The Wolverine.
Suck it, Aaron.
I'd like to have your honest opinion of what you thought of it. But let's get into what we thought. Now it's time for our opinions. Before I go into my review proper, there are some things that I need cleaned up because I don't think they were really well spelled out. And somebody else touched on it. I think it was the first caller. I can't remember who it was. No, that was fake John Luttrell. But somebody else touched on it. It was in their Facebook review where they were talking about some people's motivations.
Mark Decker.
Right. And why they were doing the things they were doing. I don't totally understand what Toyo Harada's role was in the movie.
Toyo Harada, the guy with the bow and arrow.
The guy who should have been the Silver Samurai.
Right.
And I don't really get who he was, and the ninjas that were with him, who were they? Who were they working for?
They were working for him.
And what were they doing? Because they weren't bad guys.
They were bad guys.
But they were helping Wolverine, too.
The ninjas? No.
Yeah, the first time we meet him, he runs around and shoots bad guys at the funeral.
Then
suddenly, he's the enemy of Wolverine. And then, now I'm helping Wolverine.
Here's how I understand it. There were two different forces at work.
Right.
There was Lord Shingen.
Got it.
Mariko's dad.
Right.
And the son of Yoshida.
Right.
Who was working with the Yakuza and the minister of whatever.
And wanted dad to die
and
so they could have
and
the company.
He hired the Yakuza to kidnap and kill Mariko so that he could take power.
Yeah, he would seize the company, basically.
And when that happened, that went down at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Harada, who in his own misguided way was serving Yoshida, helped Wolverine fight off the Yakuza.
Okay.
But the ninjas, the Viper, and Harada, and ultimately the Silver Samurai, were all in it together. They were all serving Clan Yoshida. And their whole plot was to steal Wolverine's healing powers.
Right. Now, why did Harada help him later? In the final fight.
Because he was in love with Mariko.
So he just had this moment of instant karma. I was like, I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah. he saw how it all went so wrong. And he's like,
okay. I was a little confused
on that. When it all came down to it, he was a man of honor. He saw that the Viper was terrible.
Okay. Because I got they didn't know that before. I mean, come on.
Well,
I got to
the point, talked about it. Like, she was a means to an end.
I was really confused. I was like, I didn't understand if the ninjas were supposed to be the Yakuza, because the Yakuza seem kind of bumbling. And
no,
the Yakuza
were, and
like,
the ninjas were. It was three separate, you know, teams, if you will.
Right.
There was Harada, Viper, and the ninjas.
Uh huh.
There was the Yakuza and Shingen, okay, and the Minister guy.
Got it.
And then there was Wolverine.
Yeah, I was confused. I mean, and now that you say it like that, I guess I can kind of see it. I would like to see this again.
Yeah.
Because, and I will also agree with several callers, there were some very slow parts of this film. Now,
yeah,
I didn't hate the slow parts.
I didn't either.
And I didn't find it boring because, honestly, as of this point, we have seen Wolverine in, what, 5 movies? And they have not developed him as a character at all. We've had no character development. It's just tough guy scene, tough guy scene, tough guy scene.
Well, they tried in the last one.
Really bad tough guy line, tough guy scene. You know, like, there was no character development. And I thought they did a good job. James Mangold directed this, right?
Yeah.
I thought Mangold did a...
Yes.
Yeah. Mangold did a really nice job developing him and letting him act as the character. And I didn't find it boring. I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. My only bitch is he's too tall. But whatever. I thought he looked good. I thought he acted well. I thought he was funny for a change.
I think that this was probably Hugh Jackman's best performance as Wolverine.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And I think that comes with having a really solid director,
yeah,
at the helm. And they did a really
well, and
nice...
he's done it 5 times. At this point, you'd think he'd have it down.
He should have it down by now. I thought they did a great... The movie looked really good.
Very slick.
I didn't have any complaints with it. I mean, like, there was some cheesy acting with some of the Japanese actors where it comes off kind of like, I am Japanese stereotype sent here to act as ninja and help you, Wolverine-san. You know, like...
see, and I disagree. I thought but that the... I thought
it
that
wasn't
all
painful.
Of the Japan stuff was very well done.
Yeah, I didn't think it was painful. There were some changes that were made.
There were a lot of changes
that kind of seemed like they were made just to make them. You know what I mean?
So they did take a lot of liberties with the Viper character. I was fine with those. I actually thought that the actress that played Viper did a fine job.
I thought the actress was really good.
And I have never seen her before.
Creepy
ever.
Looking, man. Like, yeah. I couldn't tell if she was sexy or terrifying or both.
She was both.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she definitely did feel sort of added to the script.
She was a weird mix of Poison Ivy and Cheshire from DC.
Really? Yeah.
Plus snake stuff.
Yeah.
And with all the toxin and poison stuff.
Yeah.
I do agree with Tony in that it seemed like they thought maybe they needed another superpower
character. She was
character
definitely tacked on. I mean, I think that much was obvious.
But I thought she did a good job.
I didn't dislike her performance.
No,
it was fine. It just felt a little tacked on in the script. I thought Yukio was interesting, but again, the changes they made there...
What? I didn't think they changed. They made any changes to Yukio, other than the whole seeing the future thing.
Yeah, that was kind of... Well, if she really was seeing the future, I mean, I can't really tell.
Yeah.
You know, were they just trying to be sort of mystic and Japanese? You know, I it was hard to tell, because I don't think she had powers.
No, she was seeing the future. Like, all that stuff she said she saw Wolverine die with his heart in his hand, and that's essentially what happened.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
She did not foresee Yoshida dying,
right?
And twist, he's not really dead,
right?
You know?
That's true. Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the minor changes they made with her didn't bother me so much. I wonder if she's going to go on to be Lady Deathstrike. I mean,
no, they had Lady Deathstrike in X-Men 2. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
And he killed her.
Yeah, which was. Oh, God.
He stuffed her guts full of adamantium.
Ugh. Okay. I forgot about that piece of crap.
X-Men 2? No, X-Men 2 is a good movie.
X-Men 2 is fine. It was
fine. Nightcrawler?
It was fine.
I hated
what they did to Nightcrawler. I hated it.
Stop it.
I am just a crazy person who drew angel pictures all over my body. Like, oh, God, stop it.
Whatever. I thought Yukio was awesome for all of the fight stuff.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that that Wolverine's best friend is like a 20-year-old Japanese girl.
Yeah.
And I've always loved it in the comics where like she shows up and it's just like, yeah, party time, Yukio's here.
Yeah.
And it's never been about romance. It's always been about Yukio's here, time to get into some
they're buddies. Yeah, yeah. And she's very capable.
The only thing I didn't like is that they had a habit of grinding it to a halt and making Yukio into like super sad.
Yeah.
You know,
it was like, I am not your real sister. Ooh. You know, like, yeah, right, oh, okay.
Exactly.
I got it.
And,
you know, I would have been fine with her just being the
super
bodyguard.
Tough Japanese chick that you do not want to mess with.
Bodyguard.
But I love the whole backstory about how Yoshida picked her up off the streets.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And basically raised her as a play, like, not a plaything, but a
friend.
Companion
yeah.
for their socially retarded granddaughter.
Yeah.
And then that Shingen threw it in her face every chance he got. I loved all that stuff.
She may not have been socially retarded. I kind of took it as more like he was trying to control her life more and didn't want her hanging out with certain elements and stuff. Well, he said it's very hard for her to make friends.
She said, yeah, Yukio said that Mariko always struggled to make friends.
Yeah, which could go either way. Maybe
it could have been because of the influence of her family.
Maybe she's maybe she has Asperger's, or maybe they just kept her away from kids. I don't know.
I thought Mariko was very good.
Yeah, I thought she was good. She did kind of go from seeming completely helpless in parts to sort of badass. And I was
She was Japanese.
Therefore she knows martial arts, yeah, like everyone else obviously. In the film. I thought the intro was like my favorite part, honestly. The opening of the movie in Nagasaki. Where Wolverine.
That was great.
I thought that was fantastic and perfectly executed. And that's a change. You know, that obviously wasn't there before, but that was a fantastic change.
Actually, not true.
Really?
A few years ago, there was a 3-issue miniseries called Logan, written by Brian K. Vaughan.
I remember that.
With art by Eduardo Risso, that was essentially a story about Wolverine being in Nagasaki at the time of the bomb.
Huh.
And there's more to it. It was years ago, and I'm not remembering it properly. But there is precedent for the idea that Wolverine was there for the atomic bomb.
I thought that was really cool, though.
I did, too.
Did a great job on that. And it set up the story really well.
Yes. I did enjoy badass Archer Harada. It was weird that he wasn't the Silver Samurai.
Yeah, I don't get
that. I mean, he is the Silver Samurai,
yeah,
right? Toyo Harada is the Silver Samurai.
You put him in the movie, and he's not the Silver Samurai. Yeah, it's just such a strange choice to make. Because if he is not the Silver Samurai, and I'm in that script writing meeting, the whole time I'm looking and saying, we don't need this guy. We don't need the character. There's
sure.
no point.
Sure, sure, sure.
And honestly, he kind of muddied things for me. I walked out going, what the hell did that guy even do?
Well, I thought that the idea that he was doing all the things he was doing because he loved Mariko and
Very cool.
the Yoshida family did drive the plot.
Wouldn't it have been even more interesting?
It would have
for
driven
you?
The plot even further had he
been the
suited
Samurai.
Up in the armor to fight Wolverine.
He's a Silver Samurai. He thinks he's the protector of the family. The family has fallen apart. He doesn't know what to do. And Harada secretly has built this super Silver Samurai suit that he's going to get in. And when Toyo Harada realizes, well, not only am I going to lose my job, this guy's going to kill me, you know, then it makes sense for him to side with Wolverine. They both fight the big armor thing. They win. Whatever.
Sure.
And the end, pretty ham-fisted. It did turn into total action
It got
film.
Super silly at the end, and I didn't hate it.
No,
I just
no.
thought, oh, like, it went from cool action movie with drama
right.
to, oh, this is a comic book movie.
And I totally agree with The Incredible Hulk. I was already on board at that point. So I went, all right, let's have our big action scene.
So, yeah, here's the big twist. Yoshida is not dead. He successfully survived his death by being encased in the Silver Samurai armor. It's,
right.
it's sustaining him. And at the last minute, he has this plan to, I don't know, drink Wolverine's blood.
They didn't really
that
go...
That was what I wasn't clear about. It's like, how are you stealing his healing powers?
And here's my other question. It's like, you need to build a giant robot suit with drilly fingers to do it? You can't just, you know, once you've got Wolverine stuck in the chair, have a little drilly finger machine do it or whatever.
Right. Like that is where
spent a lot of money, and not to mention adamantium is heavy.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
That thing probably weighed like what, 4 tons.
Yeah. the motivation of the main villain, who ultimately is revealed as Yoshida, is kind of weird. Or not the motivation, but the way he goes about it is like, I'm going to take your healing.
Right. It was silly.
That's not how it works. It's genetic.
Yeah.
And he pokes him with some stuff.
Yeah.
And he turns young and Wolverine starts to get real pale.
Right. If I'm writing this, Harada's not a bad guy. He wants to give Wolverine a chance to die. And in by like not
You mean
necessarily...
Yoshida.
Yeah.
You keep saying Harada. Harada was the archer.
Yoshida is a good guy. He wants to repay Wolverine for what he did and say, look, I'm giving you a chance where we can suppress your mutant gene, and you can die. You can do it whenever you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it later. And that gets used against Wolverine by the bad guys that want to do this stuff. And later on, you know, they have a cure or whatever, and he gets better.
The main chunk of the movie where Wolverine is weakened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any problem at all with that.
No, I thought it was well done.
Very clear what happened.
Right.
Viper put something in him.
Yes.
It messed with his healing factor.
Yes.
He finds it, cuts it out. He's better.
Right.
And that totally works in the context of comic books. There are power suppressors, neutralizers, any
happens
number of things.
Happens all the time.
But this whole thing where it's like, I'm going to clamp really hard on your hands.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get young again.
Yeah.
It was I'm going to drill into your claws.
Yeah, it was silly.
And suck out your bone marrow?
It was silly.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they were going for. And it was kind of silly.
I did think it was cool. Like, I didn't see the whole him getting his claws cut off happening.
Again, and this goes into what, I can't remember who said it, but they said that, like, they start taking all kinds of liberties with what adamantium can do.
Oh, well, of course, and of course they do.
Yeah.
And
like, so you've got unbreakable metal and unbreakable metal. The two meet, guess what? Nothing breaks.
Well, except for the one thing.
Yeah.
Except for the one thing
nothing
when it needs
breaks.
To. Well, hold on. We're going to get this unbreakable metal really hot.
Yeah.
And then it's going to break right through.
Right. And I get it. They were doing like the tachyon field thing, like what the Silver Samurai has. He creates a tachyon field around his sword. And he can cut through all kinds of stuff. He still couldn't cut through adamantium.
Except they never say the words tachyon.
And they never do. They just sort of did it.
It looks like it gets really hot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
And it's like, whoa, it's warm now.
Yeah. But I was fine with that. I mean, here's the deal with adamantium. It's just like Superman. It's
right.
As strong as it needs to be.
When it needs to be that
as
strong.
The story dictates.
Right. Sometimes he picks up a building. Other times he struggles moving a car.
That's
I
right.
I get it.
And so for the Silver Samurai to cut off Wolverine's adamantium claws, I was like, oh, I didn't see it coming.
Kind of neat.
And then, of course, in the course of the battle, his
bone claws grow
back.
And that's kind of fun. We've seen Wolvie with the bone claws running around.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
And so he's still got adamantium on his bones, but
right.
Bone claws coming out of his hands. It's kind of a neat thing. But guess what? Bone claws are not going to help you against a Silver Samurai.
No, absolutely not. You know,
especially if he's made
he
out of four tons of adamantium.
And he just kind of jumps up and starts taking him apart.
Right,
you know,
right,
he's
yeah,
like, he's oh, like, yeah, well, I'm going to pull this piece off of it. Okay, time out. I don't think they just duct taped that thing together. Like, we got a bunch of adamantium. We don't know how to hold it together. We're just going to rubber band everything in place, you know?
The bottom line is that the ending is kind of a mess, but it's fun.
It was silly.
It's fun. I will tell you something that I thought was going to be really stupid, but actually ended up being my favorite scene in the movie, the fight on the bullet train.
Yeah, that was great.
In the trailer, I looked at that and I was like, oh my God.
When we saw Wolverine flying in the trailer, like, oh no.
That's going to be so cheesy.
But I have no issue with any of the action.
It was choreographed so well.
It really was. And I agree with one of our other callers who talked about it being a martial arts film. This was totally a martial arts film. And that's what Wolverine films should be.
Sure.
Badass martial arts movies. And I thought they did a really great job with it, honestly. Now, when all is said and done, I think I have to rate this on a different scale, because if I'm rating against other movies, it's maybe a C+ or a B. If I'm rating it against Wolverine movies, this is an A+, you know?
That's not how it works. You don't say that Pulp Fiction's really great unless you hold it up against Citizen Kane.
No,
but
Pulp Fiction stands on its own and is an excellent film.
Right, but this movie was either good or it wasn't.
And I'm giving it I'm going to say like it's a B.
I'm going to go so far as to say B+ for me, because it was a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
And I had a ton of fun watching it.
I was pleasantly surprised. It was fun. It did have a stupid end.
Yeah. I mean, it had flaws, and no one is denying it. Let's talk about the ending with the credit cookie.
Yeah.
I freaked out.
I thought it was a perfect way to introduce the Days of the Future Past. Tons of fun, and you get Professor X and Magneto back in the, you know, back in the picture again, bringing us right back into the X-Men feel. And it's also looks like it's going to tie the First Class into, you know, you get Hugh Jackman in there now along with the First Class actors and stuff, or whoever, whatever amalgamation they decide to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how it's going to work.
I don't either.
I think the way it looks in the classic Days of Future Past, the X-Men of the future come back to meet the X-Men of today.
Right.
Right. I think in the movie coming up, it's going to be the X-Men of today.
Go back to meet
Wolverine, Halle Berry, whoever. Go back in time and meet Banshee, Havoc,
yeah,
etc. And I'm fine with that.
Sure.
And like that scene, they're in airport security. they're in airport security, and Wolverine is like, I'll take the pat down, which was funny because he doesn't want to go through the scanner.
Yeah.
And he knows what's happening. Like, as the viewer sees what's happening with all of the metal, like lifting up, like all the coins lifting up out of the trays and stuff. He knows what's happening just as we do. And when he spins around with his claws exposed and Ian McKellen just stops him.
Yeah.
I giggled out loud in the theater as he's making his pitch to Wolverine about the dire, you know, time coming and blah, blah, blah. And Wolverine says, why should I believe you? And Magneto says, you shouldn't. It wasn't until that second that I noticed that everyone in the airport had stopped moving.
Yeah, it was frozen. Which is what Professor
Which
X
was
does.
Rad! And then Patrick Stewart wheels up in his super chair. It was awesome.
So I'm going to say it. Best credit cookie we've seen yet in any superhero movie. I'm saying it.
No.
What? Give me your best. Because I think the Avengers one was kind of silly, but fun. You know, like
the Thanos one?
Well, but even that. I mean, very short. Boom, Thanos, whatever. Okay, great. This one was way better. Way better, and well, set up the next movie so much better.
Sure.
Definitely.
I don't know.
Iron Man 3, cute at best, but
The Iron Man 3 credit cookie should be ashamed compared to this
one. Yeah, really.
I don't know. It's very good.
I thought that credit cookie was awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Completely awesome.
And, you know, looking back, I know that we had our crossover episode with Movie Ha for X-Men First Class, and we all liked it. But the more I think about it, the more I think that while I enjoyed it as a movie, as like an X-Men story, I kind of wish they had done it, been a little bit more traditional with it.
I feel like we all said that.
Yeah.
I feel like we all kind of came to that conclusion. Like, this was a very good movie, and it does have me excited for the X franchise again. It's not necessarily the X-Men movie I wanted to see.
Right.
But this is what we've got, and I'll take it.
But now I am very excited.
Yeah. If nothing else,
for
I'm excited.
The next X-Men movie. And I would even say that I'd like to see another Wolverine movie by James Mangold.
If they can do it, if they can do it this quality, I would definitely go. It's interesting because the first Wolverine Origins movie was so bad that this movie took a kick in the pants because of it. They expected it to come out and make $100 million this weekend. It made $57 million. And all the analysis was, that's what you get when you make a piece of crap first film.
Sure.
I think everyone is learning that lesson. If you want to do this, you've got to successfully do each one with higher and higher quality.
Yeah. Well, and, you know,
and that's good news for, that is excellent news for guys like you and me.
Sure. And nobody sets out to make a bad movie necessarily.
No, I mean, they can end up that way. Sure.
And things happen, you know, sometimes you go Bryan Singer, Brett Ratner, and what can you do?
Right.
But I think that word of mouth will save this movie ultimately.
Yeah,
maybe
I think
in the first
fine.
Weekend,
it'll
people
be
are cautious about it. But as more and more people see it, and they're like, "Oh man, like forget the first one."
Yeah, it was good.
This is where it's at.
Yeah, was it great? No. Was it good? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and like Pacific Rim, it's not Shakespeare. It's not, you know, the best thing ever committed
to
celluloid.
Much better acted than Pacific Rim.
Sure.
Markedly so.
I mean, it is what I wanted to see when I went into this movie.
Yeah. No, it, I was pleasantly surprised.
It exceeded my expectations, I would say.
Pleasantly surprised.
All right.
Guys, thank you for all your calls. That was totally awesome. We love hearing your opinions, as always. Hope we didn't spoil anything for you. We will be back this weekend with another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast, which we call a Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast here, but, you know, for search reasons.
It's all about SEO, brother.
That's right, buddies. I hope those of you who have never experienced the show enjoyed it and you decide to contact us or call us. If you want to email us, you can do so at twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Hit us on Twitter at twoheadednerd. You can try and Skype us, but it seems to never work. Our Skype handle is twoheadednerd. And again, if you want to call us, you can do so at
402-819-4894.
Nice. Booyah. You memorized it. Way to go.
Thanks.
We love all your responses, and we can't wait to hear from you. There will be another question of the week going up this Friday. Watch our Twitter and our Facebook feeds for more of that, and we will see you guys this Sunday for a new episode of The Two-Headed Nerd.
I still have no idea what we're doing for the rotating segment.
It's your birthday. You better come up with it, buddy.
It's not my job to celebrate my own birthday.
Go buy your own birthday present and shut the hell up.
I'm not mad.